The views and opinions expressed in the following paid program do not necessarily represent those of staff, management, or advertisers with WBIG Radio.
Your radio dial is locked. On the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Go from loafing around in the garden to being a master of your yard splendor. Your yard splendor.
Hey, Mr. Gopher.
In the next half hour, you'll get the confidence you need to tackle those weekend projects with ease. You'll get information about proper methodology and the best materials available at a price you can afford. The Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show is brought to you in part by 844-DIRT. 844-DIRT, improved earth products. And now it's time for another show straight from the Gopher's Den.
Welcome to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. As always, you're here with Zach and Mike, and today we're going to give you some different and unique ways to create some decorative and functional paths in your lawn or garden.
Yes, Grasshopper, you must choose the right path, Zach.
We're not really talking about the path to spiritual enlightenment, Mike. We're talking more about lawn and garden paths, path to your garden.
Sorry about that, Zach.
Okay.
Proceed. Well,
paths can be an intricate and useful addition to your landscape, and are especially useful in high-traffic areas. But when you design a path, try to make it not only useful, but pleasing to the eye as well.
Yeah, and remember that when building paths, don't just limit yourself to, you know, traditional ideas such as concrete or brick pavers. But let's talk about some simple, natural methods.
Mm-hmm. We're going to really break paths down into three groups, each offering many benefits to appearance and the functionality of your yard. The first one we're going to discuss is continuous paths, and that's really what they are. It's just a continuous path. Most often these are seen in municipal parks or natural recreation areas, and often what is used is a 3/8 chip.
You're absolutely right, Zach. 3/8 chip or kind of a limestone screening. If you've ever been to those recreation areas or forest preserves or those, you know, light-colored, white, kind of a gravel, but not a lot of sharp edges. 3/8 chip is a limestone product. It is it's actually screened down to these light chips that really compact, really nice for walking paths. It's just an excellent.
That's actually one of the benefits of 3/8 chip is the way it compacts. On a path, you want to definitely compaction is your friend. We know we like to keep it out of your yard, but on a pathway, compaction is your friend because you want to be able to walk over it comfortably and occasionally roll bicycles and other things over it.
Yeah, and it's foot-friendly too, Zach. For those of you that like to walk around in your bare feet, you can do that with this type of material.
Mm-hmm. And because of its high pH, it really tends to be fairly weed-resistant. Any weeds that do grow in it usually have a single tap root, and they're very easily pulled. Another common underfooting base material for paths is mulch, and that's also used in many natural areas because it's durable and it's maintenance-free. Many municipalities actually recycle storm-damaged trees and branches, and they make like a coarse mulch that's really great for, you know, a base material for walking paths.
Yeah, and I really like mulch paths. It has a really natural look to it, Zach. It's low maintenance. It's inexpensive, and it's all natural. And part of exploring some of the municipals or the forest preserves, you're kind of out in that wilderness. And when you can bring that to your own backyard, it kind of gives you that same feel.
Exactly.
And a lot of those natural materials that you use or can use, you always bring that back home.
Mm-hmm. And if you need any of these products, such as mulch or 3/8 chip, check us out online at 844dirt.com. Just check us out there. We got many resource partners that can help you point you in the right direction to getting that path built.
Yeah, and you can also check out, you know, the aggregate section for some of these continuous paths, like the 3/8 chip or some other materials, or even some mulch, such as our Northwood mulch would be perfect for that path.
Definitely. And let's not forget about brick pavers or concrete paths, because these are also very, very common in the, you know, in the home landscape. These type of paths do require a great deal of skill to complete. Not saying that you just can't do it, but really, be sure to understand everything that's involved in this process.
Yeah, this is a fairly complex project. Continuous concrete or, you know, these brick pavers require lots of base material. And not, like you said, not that you can't tackle these, but the program is more simple, all natural looking paths that are pretty easy that we can accomplish in a weekend or two. And this is one that would probably take a little bit more time. The other thing is, when you do make those continuous brick or pavers. Sometimes you need a permit. So you always need, if you're going to do that, you got to check with the local municipalities or whatever the governing bodies are to make sure that you're not going to need a permit. Usually these natural paths that we're talking about, it's more of a landscaping thing. Usually permits are not required.
That's great advice, Mike. The second real type of path we're going to be discussing is a broken path.
Yeah, it sounds like one of my projects, Zach, as we're building it, it's already broken.
Exactly. Broken paths are paths that are not connected directly together. They're either interrupted by turf or ground cover. The most common form of this is actually recessed stepping stones throughout your lawn called an inlaid path.
Yeah, and using indigenous stones such as flagstone or even those precast, you know, pavers or steppers, you can still have the look of a lawn that's undisturbed but yet a very functional path. Those are very popular and easy to do.
Definitely. You can also put different types of turf and ground cover in between there to really get a good feel for that path, make a nice natural looking, and to fit your landscape plan.
And that would kind of come into the third type of path, which would be, what would that be considered, like a broken continuous?
Yeah, a broken continuous path.
Well, that's an oxymoron.
Yeah, I deal with oxymorons on a daily basis.
Oh, you're going to pay for that, Zach.
Broken continuous paths are often inlaid stepping stones surrounded by either an aggregate material, mulch, or perhaps even a ground cover. They have many foot-friendly ground covers, and we'll talk about those later in the show, that really do a good job of kind of integrating this path into the landscape around it.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of nice paths like that, Zach, that use either mulch as an inlay, a surrounding, or even an aggregate product, such as a wash stone or a crush stone. I've seen some really, really interesting and nice paths, which are the kind of the broken continuous path. And when you're dealing with a path like that, that one you're not necessarily concerned about being able to mow over. You're going to mow around that.
Yeah, you don't have to recess the stones quite as deeply. You just, about halfway down, and then use the whatever material you use in between to fill up to the rest of the height. And remember, even most paths, you know, the most direct path is usually a straight line from point A to point B. Try to put some flowing curves in these things to tie them into your landscape. You know, rarely in nature do things follow straight lines, and you got to integrate that into your plan and try to replicate that.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Zach. You kind of think outside the box when you're making these. Like you said, those lines don't intersect. The natural curves always kind of look the best. And, you know, for these materials or any of the products that are required to build these paths, check out our website again at 844dirt.com, where we got all sites, all types of products, gravel, stone, mulch, and numerous resource partners. So check out our website at 844dirt.com.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment today, but stay tuned, because in Secrets from the Experts, we're going to teach you how to build a simple path.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit DG Ace Hardware, the helpful place, in St. Charles on Main Street and in Aurora on New York Street.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844 Dirt. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself.
844 Dirt is one of the largest residential mulch suppliers in the Fox Valley area, housing everything from Northwoods Mulch of Wisconsin to Alabama Bark Mulch from the Smoky Mountain region. 844 Dirt is the exclusive provider of the finest mulches found throughout the United States. 844 Dirt also carries the finest organic weed-free screened mushroom compost available. Our courteous, uniformed drivers deliver all these products right to your home. To see a full selection of the products we carry and to utilize our handy materials calculator, head to our website at 844dirt.com.
That grass won't fertilize itself. Of course, neither will a radio program. But we can sure give you some tips that'll help you do it right. Here's some more help, straight from the Gopher's Den.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. In our second segment today, we're going to give you a little refresher on the different types of path that can help to beautify your yard, as well as some construction tips to help get you started on building it.
Yeah, that's right, Zach. The first part, we talked about three different types of paths. The first one was continuous, broken, and broken continuous, if mm-hmm. that makes any sense.
Yes, it does. Now let's talk a little bit about constructing an inlay path. That's what we mentioned earlier in the show.
So a broken inlay path is what we're going to talk about installing, which is a really a popular stepper path, and we call it a broken inlay because it is interrupted by grass, and they're just steps, a step here, a step there. You know, it's pretty easy to figure out. But why we call it an inlay is because we actually inlay it so the top of the surface of the rock or natural stone is
below the surface of the lawn.
Below the surface of the lawn. And the reason that we do that is it just makes it much easier for maintenance. The mower deck can run right over this without disturbing it. And from angles, you don't even notice that there is a functional path that's there.
Definitely. Low maintenance and functional.
Absolutely.
Now, the first and most important part of building a path is having a well-thought-out plan, along with a list of the tools that you're going to need. For this project, we'll need things like a small shovel, a wheelbarrow, possibly some sand, depending on
how large this project is.
Yeah, and the types of rocks used. If they're very flat on the sides, then you're not going to need a lot of sand. But if they're kind of irregular, you're going to need some sand to kind of get them level. You'll also need the material of choice, whether it be flagstone or these precast steppers, which are all available at our resource partners and through us at 844-DIRT. Check out our website at 844-DIRT.com.
Yeah, check out our resource partners. Find a store near you and click and save. One of the other tools, too, is I really like those little, like those garden claw style
Definitely.
Things.
If you need to loosen some soil before you excavate it, that is the thing to use.
Yeah, because these steppers are usually, sizes that we can kind of lift by hand. This is a project that we're going to take on over the weekend. It's a weekend project, so we're not talking about 6-foot slabs of this stuff. We're talking about something that we can easily lift, but also is a nice supporting place for us to walk.
Yeah, we could kind of say that's the rule of foot. You want this thing to be just larger than the size of your foot.
The rule of foot. I like that.
To make it comfortable to walk around.
I like that.
Now, you want to start your construction by first marking the area that your path is going to occupy. That's very important because you want to know if your dimensions for planned path
yeah, right.
are going to fit or not.
Yeah, and the way you do this is you take the material, whichever you decide to use, which could be an indigenous flagstone or these precasted pavers, and you simply lay them out in the area that you desire. Mm-hmm. And this is really important because this is a time when you haven't done any excavation yet and you can still move these things.
Definitely. So, take a step back and look from the big picture is what you want. You want to make sure that it integrates into your landscape plan.
And one something that Zach said earlier is, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, but that's not necessarily what we want for our path. We want this to really work for our landscaping plan. That's why, think outside the box on this. Make sure that you take in consideration the high traffic areas that you usually use, to walk for this foot traffic, and also how it coincides with your landscape plan.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Sometimes I think they should keep people like you in a box, Mike.
Yeah, I've heard that before, Zach.
Now, after you have these laid out, remember to keep natural spacing. You actually want to try to walk on them before you actually dig them into the ground. That's going to provide you with a natural, size pass, so
you're not trying to take a 6-foot step. You want to make sure that this is comfortable for you to step, continually step.
Definitely. Now, after you have that determined, you want to start by installing these stones. Mark the area around the stone. The easiest way is just to take the shovel or a small spade and go directly around it.
Yeah, that's what I do, Zach. When I'm doing a project like this, I use the stone or the stepper as a pattern, and I just simply cut around it with the small shovel and then move the irregular flagstone or the stepper off to the side, and then I begin excavating the area that I've already marked out with the shovel. Some people can use some paint, but I just like to just cut around there and then start to excavation.
And definitely. And don't worry if you go a little outside the line. It's important, that you get the stone seated properly to the proper depth, and so that it's not going to move around on you.
Absolutely, and this is key where it talks about a plan. When Zach talked about having a landscape plan, this is when you want the wheelbarrow right next to you. So the wheelbarrow's next to you. As you're excavating some of the material that you're going to need to inlay these steps, you're going to put it right into the wheelbarrow. So this way, when you're done with the first step, you just simply move to the next one.
Definitely. You don't want to do work twice. You only want to put it in there once, and then you can always dispose of what you can't get rid of later.
Absolutely, Zach.
Mm-hmm. Now, after you place it in the hole, you want to backfill slightly around it. Anything that you've gone around the edges, over-excavated, backfill that with some of the soil, and make sure to stand on the stone and rock around a little. Seat that thing into the ground properly.
You know, absolutely, Zach. You're absolutely right about that. And this is the opportunity to make sure that you're below the surface line, just slightly below the turf surface line. Because remember, when we mow over these, we want to be able to go right over them without damaging the blade.
And you don't want the wheels of the mower, when they do go over them, to be bouncing wildly around. That's
right.
Going to just scalp the surrounding grass. Now, after you've done one stone, the process is really simple. You just repeat it 1,000 times, just like a marathon. You just put one foot in front of the other.
You just
a
keep
couple
going.
Thousand times. That's right. And when you do get to the end, make sure that everything is the way you'd like it, and check for any little loose rocks. You don't want to twist an ankle going on a rock later that seem to be solid, but when you step on it, it really can twist and really.
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely an easy and affordable project that someone can handle within a weekend or maybe two. And what's really nice about this is it looks really good. It's very functional. And these are great starts. You can always add to these paths, or you can move them around. It's not a huge investment in time or money. But they're very functional. I mean, it's a really good starter project, and it really helps.
Definitely, and always upgradable. You can take this broken path and make it a broken continuous path with just a little ground cover. That's all it takes.
Yeah, remember, think outside the box.
Definitely. So stay tuned, folks, because when we come back to answer your questions that you sent to us at the Gopher's Den at 844dirt.com, we're going to give you some foot-friendly plants to help plant your path. So stay tuned.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit Ace, the helpful place, in Batavia on Wilson Street and Geneva on Main Street.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844-DIRT. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself. Do you care for a lawn?
844-DIRT.
Tend to a garden?
844-DIRT.
Nurture plants?
844-DIRT.
With high-quality earth products such as topsoil, compost, mulch, and more, 844-DIRT can help you with your most earthly prospect.
844-DIRT can also accommodate small deliveries right to your home, staffed with courteous uniformed drivers.
844-DIRT.
Online, 844DIRT.com provides a full product inventory as well as a materials calculator, so you'll see what you're getting and how much you will need.
Proudly serving the Fox Valley area with high-quality improved earth products since 1990. 844-DIRT is a name you can trust.
Curb appeal is everything, and without the proper know-how, your home won't have any. Stay with us for more great ideas and unique tips on the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. Today, Mike and I gave you some tips on building paths, as well as choosing the proper path for your yard. But now it's time to answer some questions that were sent to us at thegophersden@844dirt.com. But before we do that, I wanted to talk a little about some foot-friendly plants to plant along that path of yours.
Foot-friendly, Zach, huh? What does that mean? Does that mean, hey, hello, Mr. Big Toe. How you doing today? You got a nice arch.
Well, kind of, sort of, no. Mike. Actually, these are just really tolerant of extreme compaction that can occur with heavy foot traffic. But many are actually quite soft, and some even release a fragrance when they're stepped on.
Wow, Zach, that's a really good point. And some of these areas, especially with these broken paths, can be very compacted, and grass just won't grow. So sometimes, this type of ground cover is really necessary.
Definitely. And that's where some of these foot-friendly plants come in. Plants like Irish moss and creeping thyme, really anything in the thyme family, is very good.
Does Irish moss actually celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
I'll have to look into that, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
We'll definitely look into that.
Do some research on that.
Do some research. I'll write that down. In fact, lemon thyme is the one that actually smells like lemons when walked on. That's the one that releases kind of a fragrant smell. It's not, Gucci or anything, but hey, come on.
It smells good, I guess, if you like lemons.
If you like lemons. Now, if your path is in the extreme sun, use something from the thyme family. It can really help handle the intense sun and compaction that a sunny path can take. If it's in the shade, Irish moss is your best bet. These are really great, excellent foot-friendly ground covers, and you can't be afraid to walk on them barefoot.
Wow, Zach, your knowledge of plants is amazing. I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yes, it's truly amazing, and thank you. I'll get you on the list. But let's just kind of switch gears and answer a question from our listeners. This one is from Tim in Naperville. Tim asks, what's the best way to mow my lawn quickly? All right. I don't know. You got any ideas on that, Mike? I
mean, the best way to mow it quickly?
Yeah, what would you do?
That's not recommended.
Question, yeah.
But what I would do is I would say, riding lawnmower, a bigger, faster riding lawnmower, or, lots of intense child labor.
Yeah, I think they have some laws on that child labor now. So
you can't put your kids to work out in the lawn anymore?
But the riding mower is a good idea. The larger the mower, the more, area you will cover. But the old saying goes, make every path cut some grass.
Oh, my gosh. Make every path cut some grass.
Yeah, is that not good? I thought that was good.
Oh, that's really good, Zach. That's okay. Really good. It's just, it sounds like you can make a song out of that, Do you sing, Zach? Can you do that?
No, I really don't sing very well, Mike.
We'll save that for the outtake.
I swallowed a quarter when I was younger.
Okay.
Now, if you find yourself going back over areas that have already been mowed, to get to areas that you're trying to mow,
then you didn't make every pass cut some grass.
That's right. You're not mowing that area efficiently, and you need to develop a new pattern. Just take a sketch or a rough layout of your lawn. Include the corner spots in these hard-to-reach areas that are probably causing the problem. And now make a plan for getting to these areas first and getting them out of your way. This should leave you with either one or more rectangular shapes or triangle or ovals, which are much easier to cut and cover that area more effectively. And remember to change up the way you cut. This will, definitely help by not compacting the same areas, but it lets the grass lay a little differently, really helping on, promote good aeration in the lawn.
Zach, that's some really good advice. I like mine better. Big, fast riding lawnmower. you know what they say, spin some tires, light some fires.
Yeah, they do say that. but make sure if you're going to use a riding mower, you still have to continue the back and forth pattern. You're going to cover more area just going back and forth than you would in a circle. Yeah. Circle's really a waste of time. Let's get another question here. This one comes from Judd in Big Rock. Jug writes, squirrels are tearing up my lawn. I hate to have them tear up my lawn, but I really love the squirrels. Is there something I can do to try to take this away?
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing about squirrels, Zach, is squirrels are kind of like water.
How is that?
in the sense that they take the path of least resistance to food. So if you're
that's a good point.
If you're out there planting, the food for the squirrels, they're gonna go for that stuff first. They're definitely gonna go for the stuff you left out, leave out there. We usually get dry corn and set it out in different areas of the lawn because I like to feed the squirrels too. And I hear you had some feeding some squirrel stories also, Zach.
Well, in my term at Aurora University, they have a lot of very friendly squirrels there. So tame that they would come right up to you and take whatever you offered them. I've seen them offered a gummy worm, which they gladly accepted, which was very comical watching a squirrel eat a gummy worm. I've seen they loved pizza. They take the pizza crust, no problem. They made great pizza down there at the cafe there.
Yeah.
The squirrels were really not healthy. I mean, you really got to remember when you're feeding these things, take the animal into consideration, folks, because these squirrels were having trouble getting up the trees. They would stop, take a break, catch a breather.
Take a break.
Sometimes their girth was a little too much for the tree limbs, and they would actually snap and fall. And
yes, they are omnivores, but they shouldn't be eating gummy bears.
No. Gummy bears are probably... And you know what? It's probably bad for their teeth. They got to have their teeth their whole life. No, that's just a joke, folks. Their teeth renew.
But, this could also be a symptom of a different condition if you got animals digging in your grass. There could be, some a grub issue, too,
definitely.
Or insects.
You might have some insect or grub problems, so you definitely want to check on that, Judd. Through our resource partners, we offer many types of different kind of grub and insect controls that you can look into. If you see any spots of your lawn dying, definitely pull up the grass there and see if you see any grubs because you want to treat that now. Now is the time to effectively treat them.
Absolutely, Zach.
But now is that time of the show where we get to have the gopher give some of his wisdom to the rest of us and kind of enlighten us on our path, Mike,
since we're talking about paths, that was a nice lead-in, Zach. And, I love this part of the show. It's the most anticipated part of the show for me. It's let's hear it from the fuzzy little rodent himself.
Wow. That's some stuff, Mike.
Yeah, that's heavy duty, dude.
Well, what the gopher said is that large rain-producing storms not only give your lawn needed water, but they also give you a chance to see where the water is puddling and not moving. Often the area around your foundation can settle and cause the water to come towards the house. It's best to mark these areas, then return after it's dried, and raise them up. Well, that's good advice, and that's all today for the Gopher's Den.